Welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast, where we talk about topics and resources that help you lead more to reach more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast.
And welcome to another episode of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. I'm Tom Bump, and I'm joined again by my awesome sidekick and co-host, Ron Brooks. How's life in Michigan, dude?
We finally got some nice weather. I'm looking out the window now. It's about 65 degrees, and we got sunshine and blue skies. We've had a ton of rain lately, so it's been awful, but I think the weather finally might have broken for us.
Down here in the dark territories, it's still in the 50s and cold and rainy, so.
Sorry.
And for those of you that don't know what the dark territory is, that's Ohio. So we'll just leave it at that. So anyway, hey, man, it's good to have you on with me. And we've got a great episode for our listeners today. I'm really excited about this conversation. First, I want to say thanks to all of those that are listening. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Thanks for subscribing. And a special thanks to Go Curriculum. I really appreciate David Roush and his sponsorship of this episode. If you've never checked out Go, you really should. They've been really innovative this summer in creating a brand new curriculum called Bolt. And it's a new home-based, super fun, super easy, super flexible, gospel-filled curriculum that any church can use, whether in homes, in backyards, in parks. It's a great way to take the current situation, the current climate, and make the best of it. Even having your students put on a vacation Bible school in a variety of neighborhoods. So go check it out. The link will be in the show notes. Again, thanks to Go for sponsoring our episode. Like I said, Ron, I'm super excited about this episode because we actually have back into the world of KidMin, a guy who is a senior pastor, to talk about and give us some insights from a senior pastor's perspective on what churches are facing due to COVID-19 and the whole idea of reopening, about bringing families together for worship. There's lots of pastors that are finding themselves speaking to all the age groups in one room right now, something they're not normally used to. So I think this is going to be a great conversation.
Yeah, having that perspective from the flip side of the coin, I think is going to help a lot of the listeners to understand what their senior pastor is up against and help with some communication, help with some understanding. So I'm excited too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good because he knows the role of kids ministry. And everybody's going, all right, who's the guest?
Who is it?
And coming up, no, drum roll. No. Hey, our guest is a guy named Chris Sykes. And we actually met him. He was asking some real creative questions on a couple different kid ministry Facebook groups, including the KMC. And we were like, hey, we need to get this guy on a podcast. So Chris, welcome to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast.
Thanks, guys. Tom and Ron, I appreciate it. Absolutely.
Hey, so tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're serving. Let's help our listeners get to know who Chris is.
Yeah, I don't know if it's drum roll worthy, though. But yeah, for what it's worth, I've spent really over two decades in children's ministry, 17 years on staff at churches, small, medium, large, moved around between Mississippi, Tennessee, Alabama, and Florida, and actually served the last two churches that I served at were two of America's 100 largest, fastest growing churches, the largest church in the state of Mississippi and one of the biggest churches in Florida, and loved it there. I did not start in children's ministry thinking that I was going to stay in children's ministry for 17 years. It was like I answered the call, hey, we need a kids, a kids leader at our church. Okay, I'll volunteer, Oh, well, you're going to pay me a little bit. Great. And then I fell in love with it. And I've been coached and, just went into ministry full time. Actually went to law school as I was going into children's ministry. Went back to law school, graduated law school, and literally, the bar is a grueling test. I took the bar, and on day three, I drove from Jackson, Mississippi to Memphis, Tennessee for my last interview with the first large church that hired me full-time. and never practiced. I keep an inactive license, but went into children's ministry full time and really never looked back. So that brought me, you know, back around actually home. So our church is the church at Lake Forest in Walls, Mississippi. We're right outside of Memphis, Tennessee. So we're a suburb of Memphis. And this is where I've moved around a lot, but this is where I would say I grew up. My wife is from here. We graduated high school together. We were high school sweethearts. Beautiful wife named Stephanie and four kids. And the oldest will be 15 in 6 days. And the youngest is 8. But anyway, we came back here to really what is our home church. They called us and said, you know, pastor's retiring, who happened to be my dad, who pastored the church for 26 years. I don't think they ever thought I would say yes, because it's a much, much smaller church. Big change from where we were.
Mm-hmm.
But after a lot of prayer and talking about it, we decided to come home, and it's been the best decision. It's been a very life-changing decision, but still a great decision. So that's what brought me in as a lead pastor. It was not really on my radar, just like children's ministry wasn't on my radar years ago. But now we've been here a little over 3 years, and I wouldn't do anything else, frankly.
Very, very cool. What a great story, man. Oh man, that's awesome. I love how God does those kind of things for all of us. And yeah, right when we're not looking, that's when he says, hey, come on over here. I got something for you.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be in the U.S. Attorney's office right now, not on the good side of the table, you know, not being a pastor. So
tell you, Ron, now we know who to call when we have, no, just
kidding. I was thinking
I'm required
that.
By ethics and state law to say I am not practicing law and not misconstrue anything I give you as legal advice.
Oh, man. Well, hey, like I said in the intro, you made a video and asked some questions, but the video is what, you know, kind of got our dialogue going a little bit between you and I specifically, because you started a video that you shared pretty spontaneously, but it was obviously on your heart, and it was very well stated to help senior pastors. You went right directly from pastor to pastor the other day. And typically we always start off the KMC with a why question. So this will work perfectly, because I'm going to ask you, why did you feel led to just talk pastor to pastor during this time? You know, because obviously you sense that the pastors were struggling, leaders are struggling right now. So why did you feel led to just get in your car and make a video?
Yeah, well, so I think everybody's struggling. Children's ministry, lead pastors, worship pastors. And having spent so many years in children's ministry, I still keep a toe in the water, right? So I'm still a part of a lot of Facebook kidmen groups, and my children's ministry ministers at my church, you know, they're young. This is the first time that they've served anywhere, and they're learning a lot too. So I'm trying to coach them, and I'll, you know, I'll tag them and post and that sort of thing. So, I guess I'm in kind of a unique position straddling that lead pastor, children's minister fence a little bit, but in the world of lead pastors, as I meet and talk with, you know, other senior pastors, they care about children's ministry. We all care about children's ministry, right? But I think our minds as lead pastors are consumed with other decisions and other questions. And so anyway, it was a combination of really seeing lead pastors struggle with what to do with kids. And then in my own church, having a conversation, we were having a VBS conversation either that morning or maybe the day before, going, okay, what are we going to do? And just going back and forth, and had this idea that I don't think is completely unique, but we didn't start the conversation to land where we landed. And when we landed there and I started thinking through, I'm a like a checkbox kind of guy. If I have a problem, I want to put all the problems down. You know, I don't actually write them on a piece of paper. Usually it's mentally. But I want to, you know, put all the problems down and then try to come up with a solution that checks as many boxes as possible, regardless. I don't have any sacred cows, but that's not every pastor and that's not every church.
Right.
So when I was trying to speak to the pastors, it was really pastor to pastor, but it was to come on behalf of other children's ministers to give them permission to not have a sacred cow, to think outside the box, because everybody's thinking outside the box right now, to try to solve an issue Because I don't think there's a perfect solution for something like VBS, or what do we do with kids when we get back in the big room, you know, when the church all comes back together. But I'm trying to check as many of those boxes as I can. And so that's what the video was about. And that's what, you know, my conversation with my children's team was about, where we are.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think this is important for kid ministry leaders to hear, because, you know, having been in the world, that they get territorial and they start to wonder, why isn't the senior pastor paying attention to what I'm thinking about? So can you give us a little more insight? What are some other things that leaders are struggling with right now? Give us a little more insight into the mind of a senior pastor right now, because I want leaders to appreciate the struggle that you all are carrying, the load you guys are carrying as senior pastors. I've been in that role too a little bit, but I just think it's important that kids pastors hear from a real live senior pastor, hey, these are some of those things, because you said it. Yeah, there's a lot on the plate right now, not just kids ministry. So give us a little insight if you could.
Yeah, and I want to preface my answer actually with this to kids pastors. And I learned this from Jim Weidman, who was one of my mentors.
Mine
and,
too.
And actually, I did an interview with Yancey just a couple of weeks ago that I'm, you know, we're going to actually air during one of our Sunday morning services, you know, as a way to bring kids in. But anyway, he taught me one time several years ago that you got to support the vision of the house. And what we were talking about is, if you're a kids pastor and you're never in the worship service, you're never hearing the vision of the house. So how can you support the vision of the house? Right. Mm-hmm. So I learned that as a kids pastor, to support my pastor and whatever his vision was. So what I would say, kids pastor to kids pastor, is support your pastor, whatever he's coming up with, whatever's on his mind, be his champion. And that will help him be your champion. I've definitely seen the fruits of that over the years. So from a senior pastor perspective, we're dealing with every ministry, every problem in the church, and trying to think of it, you know, holistically. In my church, kind of my philosophy of leadership, when we're making a decision that's going to affect every group somehow, we simply ask the question, what's best? Mm. Because what's best for senior adults, when you think of it sort of territorially, you may not think it's best for kids, or what's best for kids, you may not think about it being best for teenagers. But if you just ask what's best for our church, then what's best for kids is what's best for senior adults, and what's best for teenagers and whatever. So we just try to come at every problem at my church with answering the question, what's best for everybody. And so as a lead pastor, like, you know, what we're all struggling with right now is, are the bills getting paid? Right. You know, there's an income issue at a lot of church, not all churches, but at a lot of churches. Not only am I dealing with anxiety, just, you know, gut anxiety over making the right decision in a time that nobody's ever lived through before, you know, at least in our lifetime. So I'm struggling with that. But then I've got church members and people outside of our church. Just today, you know, I recommended a counselor to two different people to help them deal with anxiety, right? Mm-hmm. So one called me, and the other one, I saw a post and I called her and said, hey, you know, let me help you out. But, or, I mean, I just didn't want her to feel overwhelmed, right?
Yeah.
You know, we're dealing with, as lead pastors, all the different decisions that affect all the ministries, all the age groups, worship, you know, how do we get back in the church? As simple for me as like ordering hand sanitizing stations, right? I mean, that's what I was checking on shipping this morning and sending emails to see if we're going to have hand sanitizing stations in place, you know, before we get back in the building. So, I mean, just little details like that, depending on the size of the church. But even at a big church, even though somebody else may be handling that, it's still on the lead pastor's, maybe on his back burner, but it's still on his mind.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to keep everybody safe and keep everybody happy, right? If you can. You know, because I've seen just in the last couple of days posts on Facebook from lead pastors saying, hey, I got a letter in the mail that, you know, one of my church members was watching another church online, and they let us know that they're going to start going back to that church when that church opens, right? So you know, now there are pastors getting emails and letters like that. And if it's a church that's never streamed before or whatever, it doesn't matter. Anytime you get that kind of a letter, it hurts. But so there's that pressure too, that, that pastors are dealing with. And there's a sense of loss every time somebody leaves your church, regardless of the reason. You know, it, we cover it well, but it's like a little mini funeral, you know, because part of the family decided to go live at somebody else's house. And that's hard.
Yeah, that is tough. Jumping back a little bit ago, you were talking, we were talking about Facebook groups. I saw somebody post a question in one of the kids ministry groups about VBS. And the question was something like, how are you going to make sure that your VBS is exactly the same that it was last year? And I thought, you can't. Things are not going to be the same as they were before. So as we look forward, we were talking a little bit before we started recording, Michigan, Ohio, and Mississippi all represented here in this conversation. And all of us, the churches have been closed down. And we're now at a point that we're starting to have the conversations about opening back up. So I don't think it's a fair question for me to ask you, Chris, when you open up, how are you going to make things look exactly the way that they were before COVID-19? But I can ask, what's going to be the same? What's going to be different? How's your kids' ministry going to look? There's a lot of people that are listening right now that don't know what their church is going to look like when they open. There's so much up in the air right now. So where do you fall?
Right. So we're not getting to the VBS question yet, just opening the church. We've decided to fall into the camp where all the kids are going to be, it's going to be a multi-generational service, right? So regardless of age, we're all going to be in the room together. Now, there are pros and cons to that, we recognize. And so we are, you know, encouraging those who are at risk, who are, and that's, you know, old people, young people, sick people, right? I mean, it's just, that's who is at risk. We're encouraging them to stay home. And so for us, one of the ways that we're doing that is our first month back is just going to be a video venue. We're not a video. I mean, we're a, you know, one site, one service church, one worship service church on Sunday mornings, but we're going to have two services that are watch parties. And part of that is so that everything that people are experiencing in the room is exactly what people are still experiencing at home. Hmm. So part of our conversation, and this was sparked by a little video blog, oh, I forgot his name. I'll think of it in a second. But he wrote the book, Accidental Pharisees. Whoever wrote that, you'll think of it in a minute. I'll remember his name. But he did a little video blog, and he was encouraging pastors, lead pastors, to not think in terms of we're a physical church with an online presence, but instead begin to think toward becoming an online church with a physical presence. Mm. And so that conversation helped shape the decision that we've made to continue whatever we're doing now. We've upped our game being on. We were online before COVID-19. We streamed, we live streamed on Sunday mornings, you know, but we've upped our game since we've been all online, and we don't want to lose any of that. So part of that 4 weeks back is, okay, can we keep pre-recording? Can we keep doing all of this? And can we meet on Sunday mornings? You know, can we juggle all the balls that we need to juggle and get it sanitized? But at the same time, what we're trying to do, what's really important to me, is that what's best for the church is best. So if it's been okay for us to watch on a screen for the last couple of months, it'll be okay for 4 more weeks or 8 more weeks or 8 more months if it has to be in the room. Plus there's conversations about live worship. Do you wear masks? Do you sing? Is it going to go over 12 feet? Is everybody going to get sick because one person's in there? I mean, there's all those conversations that we're asking right now or that we're having. And so this, for me, this checked more boxes. Right. So when we come back, all the kids will be in the room for at least 4 weeks. It may go beyond that. But when kids do go back into children's ministry, you know, we'll have we don't have all the answers yet, but we'll have, you know, probably hand washing or sanitizing before they come in. And, you know, we'll try to keep some social distance. We're talking right now about, do we even change class size? Because we have at our church, we have a mixture of for adult groups, of like a traditional Sunday school on Sunday morning for adults, as well as some home groups. And we have obviously kids and students that meet on Sunday mornings. So we're trying to decide, is now a good time to transition to more home groups for adults, for everybody? If it's for adults, but kids still meet, will we even have any kids that come? Because what are their parents going to do? Well, you know, are they going to drop their kids off? So like, we've got all those conversations that we've got to have, that we're continuing to have over the next month or 6 weeks to figure that out. But when we know what we're doing, when we come back immediately, and that is everybody's in the room. So now it's on me and the worship team, the stage team, and the children's ministry team at the same time, all of us, to work as a team and make it a good experience for everybody.
So do you have any advice for somebody that's listening? I really, really like the idea of the multi-generational service. I've been a part of them before. I got really good feedback, but it's never been anything consistent. It's been, you know, special events here and there. So you're talking about an extended period of time, but that's intimidating to a lot of people. You got senior pastors who may not feel comfortable speaking on a kids level. You've got kids ministry people who may not be comfortable in front of adults. You got people worried about, are the kids going to learn anything, or what do I put inside this busy bag to keep them busy with the crayons and the coloring pages and the snacks just to keep them quiet while their parents learn?
Yeah.
You know, what are your plans on including the kids, you know, so that, or are you one of the ones that give busy bags?
Yeah. So let me, I think I know I said this in the video.
I know you did.
The busy bags. Cause this is going to, you know, I don't know. It's amazing what little things can spark huge controversy. So I honestly think that a busy bag can spark a huge controversy. I don't know why, but that's just my gut on both sides. So what I said in the video and what I'll say here, I think is still true. As a lead pastor, I think every lead pastor owes it to themselves to spend as much time thinking about how they're going to make their kids, how they're going to make their if that's what they decide to do, multi-generational. If kids are in the room, they need to spend as much time preparing the service for the kids to be in there as they would spending time or money or budget putting a busy bag together. Because busy bags right now with COVID-19, they've all got to be disposable. You know, so you're buying however many kids you've got and whatever you put in there, that's every week for the next 4 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, even though we're doing the video venue in the room for 4 weeks, we plan to have the kids in the room for at least 8 weeks. And we're really probably looking at 12 weeks, right? So that's 12 weeks times however many kids I've got. You start doing some math and doing some numbers that can, for some churches, really add up to a lot of budget spent on crayons and coloring pages and twisty sticks. You know, and that's not a bad thing. We've done busy bags before, but I think we owe it to ourselves to ask a different question. So, one of my previous pastors, I still consider him my pastor, or maybe one of my pastors. One of the compliments that I paid him years ago was, I was like, man, David was his name. David, I want you to take this as a compliment. You're the best kids pastor I've ever met. Mm-hmm. He's a lead pastor. And the reason that I said that to him was because he, and there are many pastors like him, and I try to emulate this part of him and other pastors like this that I respect. As a stage communicator, he preaches and teaches as if there are people in the room that don't go to church every week. He preaches as if there are seekers, if you want to use that word, as if there are brand new believers, and as if, you know, we've got visitors who have never set foot in church before. Well, that describes kids, right?
Right.
And so as a pastor, I want to encourage all pastors, this, whether you've got kids in the room every week or not, you've got to preach and teach like you're teaching to somebody who doesn't know Christianese, who doesn't know where the book of Genesis is, and who has never heard that Jonah got swallowed by a fish or a whale or whatever it was, right? I've served in churches where I was working alongside a volunteer, high level volunteer. We were getting ready, something ready for our Halloween event. And I was decorating a car to look like a fish, and I was going to have a Jonah figure, right? We're doing a trunk or treat. And, she's like, what is it? That's a fish. What does that have to do with the Bible? Jonah in the well, who's Jonah? Wow. Right.
Yeah.
So when I think of this, that's who I think of. She'd gone to church for about 2 years and had never heard of Jonah, right? And so, you know, as a lead pastor, you've got to have that mindset. So when you start preaching and teaching that way, even kids will be able to understand the concepts that you're delivering. So if you can take a deep concept and make it deliverable to somebody who's never heard it before, kids will get it. So that part, I think, for a lead pastor is a little bit easier. Beyond that, I think part of the conversation is its style, its worship, it's video, it's visual. You know, you've got to ask some of those questions. What am I going to put on the screen that might draw anybody's interest, but especially for kids? Are we going to have any elements in our service that are geared more toward kids? So, I mean, I can't answer all those questions, but one of the things that we've got planned is, in the second series that I've got planned, the first series, as we come back in the room together, like the first week, I'll have that interview with Yancey, right? And so even though my kids, our children's ministry doesn't do, they've not done a lot of her music, this will sort of be a way to introduce them to her music. I've done a lot of her music over the years, and they've done one or two of her songs, but it's an interview format. So just that alone, whether you're a kid or you're an adult, is a little more engaging than a 40-minute speech, right?
Right.
So it'll be a combination of interview and then me preaching. Just that element. It's simple. It's not really, I didn't record it thinking about kids even. It was to, you know, to get ready for the series, but I recorded it thinking, okay, I did another interview and people loved it. So let me do another interview. All right. This is the third interview that I've done. Just that format helps break up the monotony. So that helped. But I was, you know, adding elements, tightening transitions, doing things that pastors should and worship teams should be thinking about anyway. So we're going to do some of that. We will probably pick up a Yancey song and probably pick up another song or two that our kids enjoy singing and not like the kiddie songs, right? Not a preschool song, because there are definitely great preschool songs. But picking some music that are worship songs that maybe our kids have sung because they've been rearranged for kids, but there's still some things that my adults might recognize, or we might even still sing in church. We might not have sung it for the last couple of years, but if our children's ministry is doing it and it's a worship song, we might bring it back in. But basically just working as a team to go, okay, you know, what's a song or two that the kids are going to recognize? Can we get maybe some kids on stage for an element? We're not going to turn it into a full-blown children's ministry, at least not most weeks. But just trying to add those elements, just individual elements, still keeping worship, but maybe we add a song in that kids recognize, put some things on screen. You know, maybe we make it a little more fun than normal. But I think church ought to be a double espresso shot in the face every week. You know, it's not every week. It's hard work to make that happen. But it ought to be, regardless of the age. So,
well, that's what we're working towards. It's similar to the question, how do you teach from K through sixth grade all at the same time? You know, all the kids present in the room. Well, right. You don't teach at a preschool level. You don't teach at a middle school level. You kind of teach down the middle of the road, and you hit some things that the older kids would understand. You hit some things the younger kids would understand. I think what you're saying is, as a senior pastor, expand your age range a little bit and recognize the fact that you've got kids there, and your whole service doesn't have to be geared toward kids, but you hit a couple of different elements here and there. And
exactly. So you can have a hook. You can have multiple hooks for multiple fish, right? You go, I mean, I don't fish much anymore, but growing up with my papaw in Mississippi, well, actually in Tennessee, you know, I fished all the time with him in the summer, and we put out different bait, right, to catch different fish. It's the same concept. But also, you know, for a pastor preparing a message, not every pastor thinks this way, but I think probably maybe they all should, I don't know. But we often, when we think, if it's a series driven pastor, and I am series driven, you're thinking of cultural on-ramps, right? So not every series that I do speaks immediately to what's going on in the culture. But a few times a year, I want to have something that's like now, right? So for instance, you know, soon after we all had to be quarantined at home, I did a series called Reconnect, and it was just about really reconnecting. I was trying to you know, help us think through how do we as a church try to connect with each other, connect with God. And it's a great time for us to step back and, you know, into prayer and just reconnect to God. Interviewed somebody to talk about mental health because there's a lot of anxiety going on right now. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's culturally relevant. This is no different. So what's the cultural on-ramp? Well, listen, right now parents are trying to figure out what I'll do with my kids in your church and out of your church. I think there are some things that churches can do right now when they get back in their buildings and even online, if they're still going to be online, say in August or September, even if they're going to be online only, to draw the community into whatever their church is doing by targeting parents, by having a sermon series, a virtual VBS, whatever, and running a Facebook ad that says, hey, parents, trying to figure out what to do with your kids? You know, we may not have all the answers, but here's something, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to figure out what that is for your church, for your culture. And that's what we're trying to do. So I think it's a win-win. I don't think this is a bad thing at all, having a multi-generation. And listen, I'm a proponent of having kids worship. The first church that I was at full-time, we built a new kids wing. I went from like a setting up every week to having a stage with like 8 vocalists and a huge kids worship team. And you know, my pastor got mad at me because people kept leaving the service to come volunteer in children's ministry. They were having a lot more fun in my service than they were having in his service, right? Uh-huh. I love all of that. But that's not where we are today,
right?
In my church. So we've got to make the main stage applicable, a cultural on-ramp for every age, but also for those who are just, they're trying to figure it out.
Yeah. And I don't think it takes a lot. I mean, and I think if, you know, I'm hoping that children's ministry leaders are going to share this episode with their senior pastors. That's Ron and I's prayer for this episode, especially, is that senior pastors are going to hear this. Even though it's called the Kids Ministry Collective, and we know they listen to Kerry Newhoff and Craig Rochelle and everything else, and Andy Stanley. Yeah, we're hoping that for once they'll listen to a kid ministry podcast, especially because you've said some really good things to them. And I know my father, he was a pastor too. One of the best things he ever did was he took some children's ministry training himself, and it revolutionized the way he began to preach. Because he did serve in smaller churches, and he learned that it didn't take a huge amount of effort to find little, like you said, on-ramps, little hooks that would draw kids' attention to the message and to where me as a kid, I learned from him. Other children learned and saw, you know, yeah, we had, I mean, well, we didn't have a kids pastor. We had somebody directing the kids ministry, and they oversaw the programming. But we didn't have anybody to connect to. And so we started to connect with him. He was our pastor too. And that was really great because kids need to see that and they need to have it. Even if you have a kids pastor on staff, even part-time, it's good to have connections with that person. And I'm all for that too. I spent most of my life there. But there is a place for both ends. And so here's the thing I'm wondering about. There are pastors out there that are they're working on reopening, and they're looking at the whole idea of rushing into opening those doors. They want to get it back because they know people are hungry for connection again, but they don't really have that regard for kids in their church, and they're not really comfortable having kids in their church in their main services. Sometimes they feel like it's a distraction. You know, when I first started in ministry as a 20-something year old college student, I served in a little country church where the sound guy just boosted the microphone because the whole left side of the church was all the families with little kids. And our pastor would just eat the microphone and he'd get right down on it and preach right over the top of all the crying and the whimpering and the talking, mom, I dropped this, you know, whatever. But how would you address that pastor that they're feeling that anxiety because of that? Or maybe they're not even feeling the anxiety. They just have no regard for the kids being in their service. What would you say to them?
Well, I think I would have to say, pastor to pastor, I'll be nice.
No, I want unfiltered. Go, man. Go. You guys have
pegged me pretty quickly. I don't know what that says about me. Anyway, I would have to say that when the disciples came and said, they were arguing over who was going to be greatest in the kingdom, what did Jesus do? He put a kid right in the middle of them and said, unless you're like a child, you can't even enter the kingdom of heaven, right? Yeah. Whatever you've done for the least of these, you've done unto me. So, Pastor, you are ministering most to the body of Christ when you're ministering to children. I still believe that. I love senior adults. I love people my age, middle-aged adults with kids and teenagers. And I love children. Now, I stepped out of a children's ministry role, and quite frankly, I don't ever see myself going back into children's ministry. Now, if God calls me there, great. But I really kind of hope he doesn't, right? So I've grown, not grown like it's just a different phase of my life that I'm in now. So I don't see myself going back to children's ministry, but if I ignore that, then I'm ignoring a very important part of the body of Christ. And so, at our church, our tagline is, we're for our neighbors and the next generation. And I chose that specifically coming in because, we should be for our neighbors, everybody around us. But when we talk about next generation, and when I preach those messages, about our vision and our values and all that, and we talk about next generation, yes, it's about kids because they are, that next generation is the next generation of the church, but it also means the next generation of Christians. And that's not age specific. You might have a 60-year-old who comes in and they're the next generation that has been led to Christ, right? Or you could have a 6-year-old. I just think that pastors have to consistently be thinking about the outside, the new Christian, the seeking Christian, and that includes children. So it's pretty easy for me. I think it's just because I've been in children's ministry for so long to sort of look past the noise most of the time. I do get distracted, which is why I have notes on stage. Now, before all this happened, in case I get distracted, I can look down at my notes. So I would say for that pastor that doesn't normally preach with notes, have some notes. That's just a practical thing to do. I can remember the first time that I was sitting in church and looked down and realized that, one of my staff wives was breastfeeding on the front row. she was covered, wasn't it? Yeah. But I did a double take because I had never been a lead pastor on preaching and a staff wife breastfeeding on the front row, and it, there's the generation now, that's just kind of what they do.
Yep.
You're used to it, right? It was a distraction. And so you got to look at your notes and just keep moving. And I would say to kids pastors, this may be a conversation between kids pastors and lead pastors. I don't know what this would look like in every church, but maybe some signage, just thinking about how are you going to communicate? You have a crying baby and their diaper needs to be changed. What does that look like? Because normally the nursery does that, right?
Right.
So yeah. Do you have a clear place that parents know they can go take a crying baby and change their diaper? I'm sure every church is going to have I hate to characterize it this way, but the overactive, the ADD, ADHD child who's not been on their medication, school's out and parents don't like, nobody likes to over-medicate kids, right? And so and we know from children's ministry, we have these conversations all the time, how do you kind of handle that?
Right.
Maybe there needs to be a plan between the lead pastor and the children's ministry team, volunteers, staff, whatever that is. Do they get up and go help parents, or does the pastor ignore it? Just having a plan, mm-hmm. right? Just having mm-hmm. a plan. A pastor like me would say, listen, if they're bouncing off the walls, I don't care. They're in the room. This is for 4 weeks. It's for 8 weeks. If I can live through it, everybody else can live through it. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But another pastor may need a deacon, an usher, a children's ministry team member to come over and say, hey, we've got a crying, a space, for you to take your crying baby, and there's a TV and we're live streaming there just like we are in here. Whatever that looks like. But that's the conversation to have before it happens, not after it happens.
Right.
And I think that plan will help pastors get past some of that anxiety. It's never all going to go away. It's attention to manage.
Yeah. And there may be, that may be one of the things that, you're right. Teams think through is, do we want to create a family space, if we have the room in a building, where we say, hey, if you have families and young kids, it's going to be a little louder in here, but that's okay. We'll adjust the volume. You know, bring your kids here. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think that's that bad. I mean, like I said, for some reason in our little country church, everybody with kids sat on the left side. Everybody else sat on the right side. If you didn't have children, and yeah, I had that one time I was preaching. Our senior pastor had a heart attack, and so I was filling in for almost a full year of preaching duties. And I remember one time in the middle of a message, one mom decided to change her child in country. They just do it. Change their child rate in the service. They didn't take them out. They just change them. Thank the Lord it wasn't a bomb. And the kid slipped away and went right under the pew. And next thing you know, they're standing right in front of me.
Oh yeah.
Doing the streak. And we all had a good laugh. And I found a way to bring it back somehow. After I got my composure from laughing so hard, because I thought it was hilarious too. I found some creative, goofy illustration to make it. But anyway, yeah, we're all going to recover from those. But I think pastors have to realize that, hey, this is a unique season, and everybody realizes that. And so I don't think pastors have to worry. I mean, because we've gotten so production focused. I think this is one thing that's going to bring it back to relationships. We're a family. Yes. And it's okay to be, families do this kind of stuff. I mean, when my family gets together, oh man, everything, you know, goes crazy. And, you know, yeah, when there were babies in the house, yes, there was breastfeeding going on over on one couch while the football game's going on in the other couch, and kids are streaking and, you know, gas is being passed and all those kind of wonderful things. And that's what families do. So I think in some ways, forget the production stuff. Realize that we're coming back together as a family for worship, and it'll be okay.
I definitely think that pastors should remind everybody, regardless of age, stage of life, whatever, to show a lot of grace.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You know, you mentioned Andy Stanley earlier. He talks about, I think it's Andy Stanley that, you know, it talks about one anothering one another, right?
Yeah.
You know, all the one anothers in the Bible, love one another, forgive one another. And that's grace. But at the same time, I think we as pastors also need to release ourselves, to give ourselves permission to try new things. This is a new time. It is, the church looks different for most churches and is going to look different for the foreseeable future. Next year, it may all be back the same. It may be. I doubt it's all back the same, but it may be. But for right now, I think our churches will probably show us more grace to try. I would rather try and fail than to just languish in, well, I'm gonna do it exactly the way that I used to, and we're just all gonna be miserable together. Don't be miserable together. You know, try something fun and different. You know, it's okay to try something new.
Yeah.
And it only has to be, again, it's short term. Like, I think the greatest cop out and the greatest, you know, like you know, get out of jail free card is, listen, guys, we're only doing this for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 8 weeks. As long as there's a time frame on it,
right?
You don't always have to do it forever.
Yeah,
that's what I try to do. We're not changing the whole look of the church, but for 8 weeks, this is what it is.
That's good. That's good. Well, we're going to have to wrap up here soon, but I want to ask a question. I think this will be really good for us to wrap up with, is I'd love for you just to speak now to the kids ministry leader about how can they effectively communicate and support their senior pastors during this time. Kind of give us that. What do you wish every kids ministry leader understood about this kind of thing for their senior pastors? What would you say to them? How do they communicate effectively, and how do they support their leadership during this time? What can they do?
Yeah, I think being the chief problem solver helps every leader. So instead of bringing problems to your pastor, bringing solutions, whatever that looks like. Again, if you're talking about VBS, bring him a solution. Here's what I think we should try. He may say no, but more than likely it's going to open the door to conversation. Like with my children's ministry team, we set a time to jump on the phone and, you know, a conversation like this, say, okay, what's it going to look like? And she brought me a solution. and I heard it, and it's not that I didn't like it. I wasn't really expecting it. Mm. And as we talked through it, we ended up landing in a totally new place that neither one of us were thinking about before. But she brought me a solution instead of a problem, right? Or
good.
It's actually husband and wife team. Just she was doing the wife was doing most of the talking, but she brought me a solution. So I would definitely say be that chief problem solver for your pastor. Pray for him. I know that's we forget that a lot of times.
Yes.
And don't just pray for him. Text him, call him, send him an email. Say, hey, I pray for you today. That'll be encouraging just to know that somebody is thinking about the issues that you have, and to send your pastors, you know, text your team, call your team, let them know you're thinking about them and praying for them as well. Not every day, but you know, a couple of times would be great during all of this, because we just get so caught up. So just know that your lead pastor is probably in over his head. I know that you feel like you're in over your head. We're all feeling a lot of anxiety in the midst of all of that. High emotion causes us to not make great decisions a lot of times. So it's good to talk through it, to schedule a time, to whatever it is, and just talk through what the possible solutions are. And don't go in thinking you've got the answer, but have an answer. Mm-hmm. And then both sides really need to be open to finding out what is the best answer for everybody.
That's good.
I think that'll help a lot.
That's great. Wow, Chris, this has been great conversation. And I love your heart. I love the fact that you can see it from both perspectives. That's very unique. And that's going to be very encouraging. And like I said, Ron and I were talking about this before, that we do hope that this helps bridge the gap. You know, it's hard because, I mean, even teams haven't been together physically, a lot of them anyway, haven't been together physically for a few weeks. You know, they're meeting even virtually. And so that's huge. So thanks for taking time today. If somebody has any questions or they want to chat more, what's some ways that they can touch base with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on most social media at Pastor C. Sykes. So, you know, Twitter, well, I'm not really on Twitter much anymore, but Instagram and Facebook, but I'm at all those. So it's Pastor C as in Chris Sykes, S-Y-K-E-S, Pastor C. Sykes, or you can find our church page at TCAF. We're the church at Lake Forest. So TCALF.com. And my email straight to me is chris.sykes@tcaf.com. So any of those would be great.
Well, cool. Well, thanks, Ron, man, this has been a great conversation. Any parting thoughts?
No, but all because of a Facebook question. You know, a Facebook post just a week ago, and here we are. So I'm glad, Chris, you made that comment. I'm glad Tom and I jumped in. I'm glad you took time out of your schedule to sit down and talk with us, because I have a feeling that there's going to be some people that listen to this and walk away with a different point of view. That's always what we try to do, you know, give people something that is relevant, something beneficial, something that'll bless them. And I think that's what we did today.
That's for sure. Awesome.
I appreciate it, guys. Absolutely. My pleasure to be here.
Hey, thanks again. And thank you for listening to another episode of the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. If you haven't subscribed yet, why not? Come on, push the button, hit it 5 stars. On the review, go for it. It won't hurt. Trust me. But anyway, we're glad that you've been listening and taking time out to listen to the Kid Ministry Collective. Thanks for being a part of our Facebook group. If you haven't joined that, feel free to do that. Remember to answer the questions so we know you're not a robot trying to break in and destroy us all, like the killer hornets or something like that. You know, I don't know. Maybe I think we're going to have flame-throwing chipmunks coming soon or something. I don't know. It's going to some apocalypse is happening. Maybe the zombies. I don't know. But anyway, hey, it's been good. It's a great conversation. Thanks for listening. Again, thanks to Bolt VBS and Go Curriculum for their sponsorship. We appreciate them backing us here at the Kid Ministry Collective. So thanks again. Listen, we've got some great episodes coming up here in the future. So don't be, like I say, be sure to subscribe because you don't want to miss out. Thanks for listening and join us again real soon.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. We hope that it's helped and encouraged you. If you would, support our podcast by continuing to share it with other leaders. And if you haven't already, hey, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. We look forward to hearing from you how this podcast has helped and sharpened your skills in ministries. So let us know on your Facebook page or head over to kmccoach.net and share with us there. And thanks again for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast.